from East Tennessee.
Love Great Talk State Radio.
The great state of East Tennessee. The weather's really pretty. Weather's cool. I'm looking out over a green. Well, it's dark now, so I'm not looking over anything, but I'm looking out my window, and it's a beautiful night. Good to be with you. I'm going to talk about prophecies, just a tiny word about prophecies. And it goes like this. A young traveler recently picked up my book, Dinosaurs and the Bible. I'm sorry, it's not my book. It was a book that was found at the convenience store. Of course, I'm familiar with it. And read the introduction to his friends. The group included Christians and atheists. Quite a discussion. Some objected to this statement. In studying creation material, I have found real evidence that the Bible, not the words of fallible humans, conveys truthful and world history. Scoffers, as we all have in the group, insisted that the Bible was written by fallible human beings. Were they right? Or was it God involved in writing the Bible, including Genesis? To find out, one could look for a sign of fallible human authorship, like places, names, people, names that don't match other Bible reliable historical sources. In the 66th book from the Holy Written Word, chapters 10 of Genesis and 11 is loaded with people and places, names. Historian Bill Cooper wrote, I have spent 25 years digging into the Table of Nations, that's Genesis 10 and 11, looking for a fault. An error, a false statement, a historical inaccuracy. I have found not one. In addition to historical accuracy, Genesis contains the unmistakable divine signature of fulfilled prophecies. How could uninspired, fallible men have foretold future events? Because God leads them and directs them. He lets them use their writing ability, but he directs them. In Genesis 3, God forewarned the serpent that he would bruise the heel of the woman's seed, that's a descendant, but the descendancy would bruise the serpent's head, implying a death blow. When the Spirit of God conceived the Lord Jesus in Mary's womb over 4,000 years later, he fulfilled part of the prophecy that mentioned the seed of the woman. The serpent bruised the Lord's heel when he suffered crucifixion for our sins. Revelation 20:10 glimpses the future of the time when the Lord Jesus will bruise the serpent's head and destroy him. God embedded a prophecy into his post-flood promise to Noah, saying, while the earth remains seed time and harvest, cold, heat, and winter, summer, and day and night shall not cease. We get a reminder of God's faithfulness and the Bible's veracity when we watch the seasons unfold every year. The Apostle Paul explains how his prophecy that God spoke to Abraham continues to be. Let me start again. The Apostle Paul explains how a prophecy God spoke to Abraham continues to be fulfilled, saying, and the Scripture, Genesis 12:3, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel to Abraham beforehand, saying, in you all nations shall be blessed. Since then, those who are of faith are blessed with believers believing Abraham. Other passages reinforce all nations' aspect of this Genesis prophecy, And even now that the gospel is going out all over the world, blessing people and changing lives. Finally, God confirmed the Genesis 3 seed promise that for each generation of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Then Joseph prophesied, "The scepter shall not depart from Judah until Shiloh comes, and to him shall be the obedient of all people," indicating that one of Judah's descendants becomes the long-awaited king of all, Christ. Christ the King was a descendant of Judah, just as God Genesis prophesied. Because other biblical people and events, and even those who trust God, promises all fulfilled prophecies, we have every reason to believe that God directed the writing of Genesis throughout early scriptures before Christ came into the earth. So many prophecies were fulfilled. Kings were dethroned. Israel went into capture. Judah went into capture. And out again in 1948. God has led the men of God in their writings, kind of like the wind at their back as they write, God pushing through the Holy Spirit, pushes them along. It would not let them write something that's not true, but would not deter with their writings and their inspirations. In other words, God takes an intellectual giant like Paul and would compare it to Peter, who had very little education. He allows Peter to write one way and Paul write the other way. But both are inspired by God, and neither one of them commit an error. That is not to say that Peter was unintelligent or non-intellectual. Believe me, he walked with Christ 3 years on the earth and was taught by Christ day and night. Lord, would I love to have that teacher, that professor. I've been to college and all that, but it doesn't mean anything compared to what Peter found in Christ, who taught him day and night, 3 years. In all this teaching, there is the cross that God has promised. There's Christ, which God has promised. There's Christ who died on this cross for our sins. And by his blood, we are healed. We will not taste death by his blood. And it's up to you. If you taste death and did not partake of this cross, I ask you tonight, look at yourself. Look at the world. Coming future events of the world. And realize that we don't have long. God is coming back. Christ is coming back. Set this kingdom. Will you be ready? You can be ready by simply believing in Christ and believing in the cross and his death on the cross. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever should believe in this death should pass from death unto life. And that's the promise God gives you. All you have to do is look up to God and say, "Father, I've sinned. I'm a sinner. And I'd like to come to you and taste everlasting life." The Holy Spirit will come into you, fulfill your life, and you can be led by God. Tonight, you have the opportunity to do it, to simply bow your head. Or you don't have to bow your head. Just look out your window, realizing that you're a sinner, realizing that there is an escape out of death. Myself, I know I'll never die. Mortally, I'll die, mortally. But my soul will go to heaven. Oh, what a blessed time that will be. Well, folks, that's it for tonight. It was short, but I hope it was sweet. Knowing that God loves you, and in my own small way, I love you. If you have any questions, write this number down. 865-803-7334. I'll repeat it. 865-803-7334. 7334. Text me, call me, and I'd love to talk to you. I have a website, cgeneabbott@gmail.com. That's C like in Charlie, G-E-N-E, Gene, A-B-B-O-T-T, @gmail.com. That's cgeneabbott@gmail.com. God bless you. I love you. Make a decision for Christ. If you're already with Christ, rejoice because he's coming back. Forever. Thank you very much.